name is Lee Fisher, and I'm the program manager for the Expert Colorado Initiative. It's fun to look at an audience with a lot of colleagues and friends, so thank you for sticking it out to the end of APHA. So today I'm going to talk about our efforts to integrate routine screening and brief intervention and referrals to treatment into the HIV clinics and AIDS service organizations throughout the state of Colorado. I have no relationships to disclose, although I do want to say I apologize for my slides. When I uploaded them, everything is like a little off-centered, so just like blur your eyes a little bit. Oh, wrong direction. Okay, so what I hope to do is talk a little bit about our project and to describe some of the data that we've collected and the lessons that we've learned. To really talk about what are some practical ways to implement ESPRT into HIV treatment and care, and how to identify some of the resources that are available for introducing ESPRT into the context of HIV prevention and care. So first, I want to acknowledge our funders. ESPRT Colorado is an initiative through our governor's office, Governor Ritter. But it's the product of a five-year grant from SAMHSA, under SAMHSA, the Centers for Substance Abuse Treatment. Our project officer is actually upstairs presenting at the exact same time. So in 2006, the state of Colorado received this five-year chunk of funding from SAMHSA, and our goal has really been to integrate screening and brief intervention as a standard of care into a variety of healthcare settings around the state. And you heard Carolyn Swenson talk a little bit about her efforts in our project. At the same time, our state health department, who receives HRSA funding under the Ryan White Care Act, Ryan White Care is divided into like A through, I'm not even sure how many different parts there are, but Ryan White Part B funding from HRSA is really meant to be given to people, programs that are treating people living with HIV. And so our state health department had some carryover funding left from their Ryan White Part B funds that they really wanted to use to bring ESPRT into the HIV care settings around our state. And so the state health department approached the ESPRT Colorado initiative and said, how can we work together to braid these two funding streams, so from SAMHSA and HRSA, to expand what you're doing in primary care and in hospitals to be inclusive of HIV care. And so that's really how this project came to be. Because it is two federal funding streams, our data collection process is a little bit different between the two. And so when I show you the data, you can see it's separate from our SAMHSA-funded data collection sites. All right. So why do ESPRT within the context of HIV care? The research really shows that people living with HIV and AIDS are at an increased risk for substance abuse issues and addictions. I wanted to share a little bit about, they call it the HCSUS. It's the HIV Cost and Services Utilization Study. It was last published in 2002, and it's a nationwide sample of people living with HIV. It's a survey that is administered, and in 2002, 38% of survey respondents had used illicit drugs in the past year. 19% had reported heavy alcohol use within the last 4 weeks. Annual screening for tobacco, alcohol, and drugs is a standard of care for people living with HIV and AIDS. It doesn't mean it's happening, but it has been named as a standard of care. And it's fairly likely that if you are to screen and intervene sooner for alcohol and drug use, you might help reduce some of the increased costs that people living with HIV often incur. the use of alcohol and drugs is directly related to medication non-adherence, and so it's actually one of the top reasons in the HIV research that people do not adhere to their treatment. It's because of risky drinking and use of illicit drugs. And there's also a lot of implications for HIV prevention when you start talking about substance abuse and early identification. So this is a map of Colorado based off of population density. So let's see, the yellow counties are the urban, classified urban counties. The green are the rural, and the bluish color are the frontier, which I just learned means that there are fewer than 6 people living in a square mile. And that's how you get the frontier classification. So I always think that's pretty interesting when you're looking at Colorado. The red circles indicate a county where we have a SAMHSA-funded data collection site. So that would be a hospital or a clinic where we've used our SAMHSA funds to integrate routine screenings and interventions, and we've collected data. The purple circles indicate where there's an HIV clinic or an AIDS service organization that's been doing the same with their HRSA funds. And there is some overlap, and at the end, if I have time, I can talk about how within those different communities, these two different types of sites are trying to work together to implement ESPRT. This is the process that our HIV clinics have integrated. So every client who walks in the door of the clinic or the AIDS service organization receives a universal pre-screen. Some have chosen to do this pre-screen. It's a 5-item questionnaire annually. Some are doing it every 6 months. The pre-screen asks about tobacco use, illicit drug use, and that also includes the misuse of prescriptions. And then it has 3 alcohol questions, the NIAAA questions. The clients and or patients who score negative, they receive a little bit of positive reinforcement. For those who score positive, they then receive the ASSIST or the CRAFT. So the ASSIST is the Alcohol, Smoking, and Substance Involvement Screening Test developed by the World Health Organization. And then the CRAFT is the tool used for clinics that see clients under the age of 18. Usually the ASSIST or the CRAFT are administered by a case manager or a social worker, sometimes by the nursing staff in each of these locations. The screening tool is then scored, and then these are our breakdown categories. Low risk, clients who score low risk receive positive reinforcement. Those who score moderate risk receive a brief intervention. Those who are a little bit higher on the scale, moderate to high, are referred to brief therapy. And those who score kind of on the high end of the spectrum are then referred to a licensed substance abuse treatment provider in Colorado. So this is the data that was collected through April 1st. The Ryan White fiscal year ended March 30th, 31st. How many days are in March? So this slide represents data collected through that time point. Through our SAMHSA-funded sites, there's 12 different sites. At that point, we'd screened about 80,000 patients. Currently, we're up to almost 100,000. 58% received the screening and scored negative, meaning that they were in the screening-only category. 11% received a brief intervention for alcohol and drugs and or drugs. 5% were either referred to brief therapy or treatment. And then 26% were tobacco-only users, and they received a BI, a brief intervention just for the tobacco use. From our 8 different HIV care sites, we had screened about 2,500 clients. We started collecting data in 2008. So about 2 years, about 2,500 clients. 46% scored negative on their screening. 17% received a brief intervention for alcohol and drugs. 14% were either referred to treatment or for some brief therapy. And then 23% were tobacco-only users. So you can see that there's a considerable difference between the HIV-specific locations and the our other clinics and hospitals. So I was actually surprised by the amount of barriers that we encountered in trying to bring ESPRT to HIV, the HIV community. And it wasn't the first time the health department had tried to do this. Over the years, the HIV care manager at the Colorado State Department of Public Health, he's been a huge supporter of intervening sooner with risky substance users who are living with HIV. And so he's tried to do this in the past, but he's never really had like a formal mechanism for doing so or a model that ESPRT actually provides. So when we came along and started talking to these eight different centers about this work, they thought, oh, this isn't going to last. You know, this is just another one of the health department's crazy ideas. And so we faced a lot of resistance at the onset. There was a big misperception of the target population. They really thought that ESPRT was for their dependent clients, people who they knew had an addiction, who had been to treatment, who didn't want to go back to treatment, had a bad experience. And so we were constantly trying to remind them, this is really about the clients that you see and maybe you've seen for years and you have no idea that they might be using at risky levels because you're not asking. Let's see, there was a lot of hesitation about implementing ESPRT because they didn't want to identify people who might need treatment and then have nowhere to send them. In Colorado, we're one of the bottom states in terms of what we spend on treatment for addictions. There's not a lot of treatment resources, and there's a lot of concern in our rural communities about where would they send their clients who are living with HIV to receive culturally competent services, treatment services. And they're already feeling very stigmatized in their communities. So is the treatment community going to be welcoming? Will they know how to best serve their clients? And there was a lot of questions around that. And then also with funding, there's the perception that everybody needs inpatient treatment and it's just unaffordable. And so why do this when we can't afford to send them to treatment anyway? There was a lot of nervousness around, well, how can we really prioritize one more thing in the context of our clinic flow? Our clients are often in crisis when they come in, and there's just not time to do this. And then we also heard from some of our healthcare providers that, oh, it's just part of the culture. Substance use is just part of the culture with our clients, and it's going to be offensive to them if we start asking about alcohol and drug use. And we really want them to keep coming to us for their treatment, and so if we don't want to offend them because they won't come back. And then they were also fearful of unintended consequences. As we start talking about alcohol and drugs and we document it, are we putting our clients at risk of losing some of their other benefits, like their housing benefits and things like that? We have about 5 minutes? Perfect. Okay, so I just wanted to, looking back at this idea of we're going to offend our clients, we've heard this from our SAMHSA-funded sites as well, that initially a lot of healthcare professionals think that this will be offensive to their clients, and in the small family practices, they don't want to alienate their patients, and so they're very hesitant around how do you ask about this so it doesn't come off as judgmental. So what we did recently is our evaluation team, is Laura here? Laura, she just snuck out. Our evaluation team recently just did a study or an evaluation of our eight HIV settings, and they did three parts. They did provider focus groups, then they did provider surveys, and then they did client surveys. And I'm hoping to present on that next year at APHA, but I just, because the report was just released 2 weeks ago, but I just wanted to share a little bit of the client survey outcomes. So one of the questions we asked in the client survey was, I am glad that my alcohol, drug, tobacco use was discussed at this appointment. So the clients, as they were leaving their medical visit, their medical appointment, were handed this questionnaire and they were asked to fill it out before they left the clinic. The only identifier, the only thing that we knew is whether they had scored positive on their ESPRT screening or negative on their ESPRT screening. Okay, so of the patients who were asked or asked to respond, I am glad that this was discussed at my appointment, 95.4% of those who had scored positive on their drug and alcohol screening said yes, that they were glad that they were asked. And 94% of those who had scored negative said that yes, they were glad that they had been asked. This question is very similar. I was comfortable discussing my alcohol, drug, tobacco use with the staff at this site. Of those who had scored positive on their screening, 95.5% said that yes, I did feel comfortable discussing this. 96.1% of the negative said yes, they felt comfortable. So I'm hoping that as we collect more data like this, we can take it back and say, see, your clients aren't uncomfortable. They're not offended as you think that they could be. So my recommendations at this point, we've been doing it for a couple of years now, is to really take the time to build the buy-in. I think that's important when you're bringing ESPRT to any type of location, and most people in this room would probably agree. I had a physician at the Denver Health Infectious Disease Clinic, and that's probably the second largest HIV clinic in the state, say, you know, I thought I knew everything about my clients, and I thought I knew who were the risky drinkers. And he talked in particular about a client that he's seen for 12 years, and he had no idea that he would score positive on an ESPRT screening. And so he really did a 180, because at first he was one of our most resistant providers, and to hear him come around and say, wow, I had no idea, this really has made a difference. I think another big thing is a lesson that we've learned is to do our best to collaborate with our testing and our prevention programs. And one of our hospitals out in the Western Slope, they have a rapid HIV testing program in the emergency department, and so they really try and link ESPRT in. After people have the results of their HIV test, then they automatically do an ESPRT screening. Or sometimes they do the ESPRT screening first, and then they do the rapid HIV test. And those two programs are starting to work together really well. Another key lesson is to really bridge the collaboration, because it makes sense if you have patients who are late going to the pharmacy to pick up their prescriptions, indicating that they're not adhering to their treatment, if you can work with your pharmacist to notify the case managers, and the case managers can intervene and do an ESPRT screening to see, well, maybe the reason the client isn't adhering or isn't picking up their meds is because they're binging on the weekends, or they're not feeling so well because of, you know, their risky substance use. But you really have to get people to start to talk. In Colorado, that means getting our case managers who are at the AIDS service organizations to start talking to the infectious disease providers. They all share clients, and so to start talking with each other about these issues. The other key piece is ESPRT seems to work really well at these 8 clinics as it's been linked into their retention and care programs, into their adherence efforts. So again, if you have a client who hasn't shown up for 3 appointments, get on the phone and do an ESPRT screening. That's worked really well at Denver Health and their infectious disease clinic as a way to try and re-engage them in treatment to do these brief interventions. Let's see, and to share the results with our state and federal partners. I think that's really helped us to keep the momentum going. We are constantly sharing the data back to the State Health Department, to SAMHSA and HRSA. I just wanted to highlight some of the emerging issues that have come out of this work. We don't know a lot about alcohol, the interaction between alcohol and HIV medications. We don't know a lot about how much is safe to drink for someone living with HIV. Our providers have also really been stumped with how do we handle this issue of medical marijuana. So many of the clients living with HIV are using medical marijuana, so they don't want to encourage them not to use it if it is really helping with their symptoms, helping decrease nausea and things like that. But yet, if the marijuana is being used for other reasons, how do you assess for that? And so that's been one of the challenges we've encountered. Also an emerging issue is how can ESPRT help support those clients who are in recovery? So people living with HIV who've been in long-term recovery, how can ESPRT be used as relapse prevention? And then also, how can screening and brief intervention be rolled into the HIV prevention programs in Colorado? Because so far it's really only been for those who are already HIV positive. So how can we get it to the high-risk folks who aren't yet infected, but just seems like a key opportunity to intervene? So these are our next steps. We're working with the American Psychological Association. They have some CDC funding to really look at that issue of how ESPRT fits into HIV prevention. And so we're working together to develop a training manual for prevention-based CBOs, community-based organizations, that would really integrate screening for tobacco, alcohol, and drug use, as well as mental health, depression and anxiety in particular, and HIV risk behaviors for prevention clients. So that's kind of our goal over the next year with the APA. We're also hoping to do a six-month follow-up study of our clients living with HIV so that we can compare them to our SAMHSA-funded six-month follow-up. With our SAMHSA sites, we've seen a 40 to 46% reduction in the number of days that patients report using, but we don't really know. We haven't done a formal follow-up with the HIV clients yet. Again, this issue of how much alcohol is safe, I just recently learned that Brown University received a NIDA grant, I believe, or excuse me, an IAAA grant to launch a center to really look at this and the interaction with alcohol and in people living with HIV and HIV medications. And let's see, the final thing that we would like to do, if we can find the funding, is to then link ESPRT outcomes with HIV outcomes, so we can show if people receive a brief intervention sooner, are they living healthier, and are their HIV outcomes improved. And this is my contact information. Our website is Improving Health Colorado, and my email address and phone is below. Thank you.
Any questions? Yes, please.
Been doing. So we've released the report back to all of the providers, but they also receive quarterly data reports of how many clients have been screened, what their screening results were, how many were sent to treatment, and that sort of thing. Because we do think that over time that really has made a big difference to build the buy-in. Many more people were referred to treatment than they ever expected. So